I talked to you Friday about headship order and glory order from God to Christ to Adam to Eve and to tresses. Tresses or a woman's hair begins the glory train. That's where it starts and it ends with God. Now, in that passage, there's a couple interesting phrases that have really caused men to put down women and for women to think less of themselves than they ought to think. And I can't stand it when that happens, as you know, because I believe that woman is Adam 2.0. She is an improved version of Adam. And I'm not being funny. I absolutely mean that. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "For man is not out of woman, but woman out of man. For also man is not created because of the woman, but woman because of the man." Now, these verses have been misconstrued and misinterpreted in order to put down women. When you see the phrase "out of," for man is not out of woman, but woman out of is out of man. When we see the glory train starting with God, we see that Christ is the glory of God. Christ is out of God. God is invisible. Christ manifests him to the world. Okay, and humanity or Adam is out of Christ. We, as living letters, with the Spirit of God in us, manifest the life of Christ. Now, woman then is out of man. But now you're seeing that out of doesn't necessarily mean, well, because she's second doesn't mean she's less. She is the glory of man. So naturally, she comes out of man. And literally, Eve came out of Adam. Adam, or God created Eve from the hollow angular vault that is the womb from Adam, took that, built the woman. So she literally came out of him. And her hair literally comes out of her. And her hair is her glory. I had someone write me after Friday's video, and she said, "Darn my luck, drat my luck, bad timing. I just got my hair cut a little shorter." And she said, "And I was thinking as I went to the hairdressers that my dad always told me, your hair is your glory." And people just say that. They don't realize that it's a scriptural phrase. But a woman's glory is her hair. They don't realize where that comes from. So a woman coming out of a man is that she is his glory. And again, if we look at Proverbs 31, the man sits at the gate, but the woman puts a good face on him by doing all these wonderful things. "For also man is not created because of woman, but woman because of the man." All right, that verse in particular, "man is not created because of the woman, but the woman because of the man," this verse is assumed to teach the inferiority of women. However, it teaches just the opposite. Had woman been created first, this is me now, I guess. Had woman been created first, there would have been no need for a man. This is the gist of man is not created because of the woman. The woman is created, she is created as a helper to the man. If woman is the helper, who needs the help? Have you noticed that women are much better at multitasking? They can do a bunch of things at once. Men, we can do one thing really well. Nobody's better. But as far as multitasking, we can't manage the complexities of life. Women are experts at this. And so woman was created because of the man, to be his help. And again, who needs the help if woman's the helper? Adam needs the help. All right, I got a little dog visiting me. I'm outside here, and I got a little pooch visiting me. This is Taco. Hey, Taco. You're an uninvited guest, but you're cute, so I guess we'll keep you on board here. Men don't like to hear this generally, that my contention that if woman was created first, there would be no need for Adam. And I have a little example of that in my book, Eve Raised, which is coming out soon. The cripple is not created because of the crutch maker, but the crutch maker because of the cripple. No cripple was ever created because of a crutch maker. So equally absurd then would be a man created because of a woman. There's a need. After the man's created, we have a need. Why would he be, we have a need? Well, Adam was complete in himself and there was no need, but God wanted to create a need, and so he created a woman, and now Adam is just lacking, and woman is his completion. And I insist that woman alone in Eden would apparently not have required completion. Her need of a man, Eve's need of a man, comes via the curse. Whereas Adam, post Genesis 2:21, needs woman inherently. All right, let's look at this. Genesis 3:16. And to the woman he said, I shall increase, yea, increase your grief and the groanings of your pregnancy. In grief shall you bear children, yet by your husband is your restoration. And this is the concordant version of the Old Testament. And this, what I'm about to read you is a bad translation. This was part of the curse placed on women. It's a bad translation. I'm going to correct it for you here today, and it's going to make everything make sense to you. Women, you're going to feel way better about yourselves after this. So to the woman, God said, I shall increase your grief and the groanings of your pregnancy. In grief shall you bear children, yet by your husband is your restoration, and he shall rule over you. That's even in the concordant version. He shall rule over you. And women have gone, oh God, and they have taken this as a curse. That's part of the curse, all right. He's going to rule over me. And men have taken this verse, and misused it to lord it over women. Now, I'm not saying that in a marriage, a husband is not the head of the wife. Yes, indeed he is. A husband is the head of the wife. This does not mean he's superior. In fact, I claim he is a bit inferior. But God gives greater responsibility to the lesser vessel. How does Scripture put it? I think it's around 1 Corinthians 12 when we're talking about the foot, the part of the body. And Paul says that God gives to the members that we deem to be ignoble more exceeding honor. That's it. God gives the vessels. And we, because of some of these verses, woman is out of man. Man came first, then came woman. So woman is more ignoble, and so man rules over her because she's lesser than him. It's not that at all. Woman in a lot of ways is more noble than the man, but God gives to that which we deem to have less nobility more exceeding honor. So God takes man and puts him as head of the woman in the marriage. But part of the curse on women is not that the men would rule over them. It's a completely different thought, and I'm going to go through this with you now. The wording of this passage, even in the concordant version of the Old Testament, suggests that a husband rescues his wife from the curse. He restores her. And that the wife repays the favor. Okay, well, you did this for me. You joined me. Adam joined Eve in the curse. And so she repays the favor by becoming subservient to him, like his slave, his servant. This is misleading. So let's look deeper. In the concordant version, there's a footnote, concordant version of the Old Testament. There's a footnote at the word restoration. And the footnote reads this, Hebrew impulse. This means that the Hebrew word here, teshakwa, means impulse, not restoration. So why the concordant version put impulse in the footnote and not in the text? I don't know. Just put it in the text. Additionally here, where the word over appears, as in he shall rule over you, there is a superscript I. It's a little tiny I on top the word over. This means that the word in the original Hebrew is in, not over. So again, why the concordant version doesn't use in the text when the literal word is in, I have no idea. That's curious to me why they don't do that. But at least the right words are noted. So they have a footnote with the impulse instead of restoration, and they have a superscript I, which means in instead of over. Now, another literal translation, which you know I like, of the Hebrew scriptures, the Devar translation, puts these elements into the text itself. They put the They put the impulse and the in the text. Here's the passage from the Dvar translation, Genesis 3:16. Under the woman he spoke, quote, "To increase I shall increase your sadness and your pregnancy. In sadness you will bear sons, and unto your man will be your striving, but he will rule within you." This is very interesting now. This is getting interesting. It's saying something completely different than we're reading in the common English versions and even in the concordant version. Unto your man will be your striving, but he will rule within you. Notice that for the Hebrew teshakwa, the Dvar translation has striving. This is much closer to impulse, which is the actual Hebrew word that should be here, than the concordant restoration. I don't know where that comes from. On top of that, there's a footnote at the word within. And this is even in the Dvar translation. They have within instead of over. There's even a footnote here. The footnote says, quote, the heart of. On top of that, where the word but appears, as in but he will rule within you, there's a little superscript A in front of the but. This means that the word in the original Hebrew is and not but. All right, what does this mean? Here it is. Putting all these elements together, this is what we get. This is a literal reading of Genesis 3:16. Unto the woman he spoke, to increase, I shall increase your sadness and your pregnancy. In sadness you will bear sons, and unto your man will be your impulse and striving, and he will rule in your heart. How different is that? This is my take on that. So it's not that Adam becomes Eve's restoration. Like, oh honey, save me. It's not that. Rather, he becomes now her undertaking. It's a newfound void within her after the curse that makes her care about Adam in a measure that she previously did not. Adam's deficiencies now incline her, there's where the words impulse and striving come in, toward his aid. Her heart now tells her that without her care, this man will die. He needs her. And it's unbelievably, remarkably, I should say, modern scientific data confirms this. In the longevity department, marriage benefits men more than women, whereas women outlive men no matter what their marital status is. So marriage is very good to men. And he shall rule over you? So this phrase, and he shall rule over you, it's not right. This mistranslation really has wreaked immeasurable societal havoc. I think it's probably ruined marriages, especially in the Christian world, because Christians look at this and they go, the men get excited, I'm supposed to rule over you, says right here. And the woman just lay down and surrender. Yeah, you're supposed to rule me. This is not a headship thing. This is not a godly laying down a man's, a man laying down himself for the care of his wife. This is a, I'm your leader. No wonder men lord it over women and husbands over wives. They imagine that God in Eden decreed it. What a difference between he shall rule over you and he shall rule in you. That is, in your heart. Rather than this being a warning to women and a command to men, it's all different now. This verse becomes a credit to women because they care about the man now. And it's a blessing to men to have women caring for their welfare. What a difference.